Today's episode is being sponsored by artist, author, and longtime friend of the PCPS, Anne Pellegrino, who has created one of the cutest, most fun, and infectious Gen X journals that's truly a creative trip down memory lane. The Gen X Journal is so much more than just a journal. It's a retro activity book for people of a certain age, filled with journaling prompts. I love that. I never know what to write in my journals. Coloring pages and cute doodles themed around our childhood and teen memories. What did your bedroom look like? Describe it or sketch it out in the journal. What favorite toys do you remember? What songs were playing at school dances? You can make your own mixtape right in the journal. You'll find over 80 pages of cute illustrations, fun topics, journal prompts, and lots of room for your own writing and drawings. Spend some time recalling long-forgotten favorites and, most importantly, getting in touch with your younger self. We love this journal so, so much. And it's available where you buy books or through the link in the show notes of this episode. Again, it's called The Gen X Journal, and it's created by Anne Pellegrino, who is Spot Girl Design on socials. And trust us, her art is beyond darling and whimsical. Go to spotgirldesign.com to check out all of Anne's incredible designs. Thanks for sponsoring this episode today, Anne. And more importantly, thank you for creating such a fun and fabulous journal.
McDonald's!
McDonald's!
Felt like Oprah there for a second.
Yeah.
McDonald's! Oh,
it's so great.
Warned you, listeners, it's going to be one of those episodes today.
Hello, world. It's a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy.
Welcome to the Pop Culture Preservation Society, the podcast for people born in the big wheel generation whose cats were all outdoor cats.
Okay.
Were they? Was your cat an outdoor cat?
Yeah. I don't like cats, so we didn't have a cat. We can take all that out. Yeah. But yes.
Pregnant all the time.
Mm-hmm. Wait, did you say pregnant all the time?
Yeah. We didn't follow Bob Barker's advice.
Yeah, that was the 80s, I think. We didn't get that advice until the 80s.
We believe our Gen X childhoods gave us unforgettable songs, stories, characters, and images. And if we don't talk about them, they'll disappear, like Marshall, Will, and Holly on a routine expedition.
And today, we'll be saving those iconic commercial jingles that are permanently tattooed on our brains. Those songs that convinced us we were a pepper, made us crave Big Macs, and somehow made bologna adorable. I'm Carolyn.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Michelle. And we are your pop culture preservationists.
Okay, everybody, buckle up, because today we're diving into those commercial jingles that we grew up listening to. Those irresistible little earworms that lived rent-free in our brains, and honestly, still do, right? Mm-hmm. These were the songs that sold us cereal and shampoo and sneakers and soda, and somehow made us love them for it. In just a few seconds, they could make a brand feel like a friend, a feeling, even a lifestyle. Whether it was have a Coke and a smile, you deserve a break today, or I'd like to buy the world a Coke, these jingles were the soundtrack of our Saturday mornings, our after-school TV time, and family evenings watching Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley. So today, everybody, we are going to explore why these tunes stuck with us and why they have become such a beloved part of the pop culture memories that we share. We will be sharing our own favorites as well as those of you listeners who told us what you loved. We're going to talk about how the jingle has evolved, or in my opinion, devolved, from those catchy little original ditties of the 70s and 80s to today's attempts that just reuse tunes from pop hits. Ozempic, we're looking at you.
Oh, God.
So buckle up for a fun-filled and most likely singing-filled trip down memory lane.
I would argue that many of the jingles from the 70s and 80s, I know and love just as much as I loved the songs I was listening to on the radio.
Oh yes! My God, that's exactly what I was going to say. Oh, the same exact thing.
Well, I would argue that we heard them more even than we maybe heard the songs on the radio. We heard them all the time. And, you know, some of our friends might not have been listening to all the same radio stations or songs we were listening to. But you guys, we were all tuned in on Tuesdays watching Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley.
Yes. And these were things, these little songs were about things that we cared about, like candy and cereal. Like we cared. It wasn't just car insurance and pharmaceuticals.
And also, what is it about that? God, those pharmaceuticals? Well, first of all, those were not allowed when we, up until what, the 2000s, like you were not allowed to advertise prescription meds. And now, my goodness, that's they're making up for lost times. I know.
Yeah. I was just going to say, also, they were so fun to sing, so many of them, that I think I have a memory, and if I don't, I'm just going to pretend I do, of we would sing them like on the playground, like when we were on the swings. Like this is something when you're in like fourth and like when you're in fourth and fifth grade, they're like fun little ditties to sing that everybody knows. And everybody might not know all the lyrics to a Bee Gees song, especially a Bee Gees song.
Or a diabetes song. It's more fun. Candy is more fun than singing about diabetes or broken wiener.
But yeah, they were just fun. Fun.
Yeah.
And they were totally really aimed at us. And they had children in them. Like when was the last time you saw a commercial with a child in it?
Well, I don't even see commercials.
Question. Yeah. Well, now we pay to not have to see them, right?
I know. Mean,
and yet they still somehow wiggle those in. I thought I paid for the no commercials, but now there are commercials on my Amazon Prime.
The fine print is not very clear.
No kidding.
Right. And these jingles were crafted by real musicians and real composers, not just marketing people. There was musicality. There were hooks. Sometimes you had full orchestras and real singers. Sometimes you had famous singers like Paul Anka or Carly Simon. They were like 30-second masterpieces. And here is that. Here is how that came to be. So let's go in our Wayback Machine. It all started. This is such a no-duh moment.
Do we have to buckle up to go in our Wayback Machine?
Buckle up, everybody.
Buckle up.
Because we're going in the Wayback Machine.
Backwards.
It all started with the advent of radio. Because think about it. Before radio, our dominant medium was the newspaper. And you can't do jingles in the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
But when radio rose to dominance in like the 1920s and the 30s, then jingles emerged as a tool for companies to get the attention of audiences and kind of foster brand recognition. They were very short, they were simple, and they were memorable. And they could even tug on your heartstrings in a way that you couldn't by just talking about a product. Right? Let's make a little song about our product, and that will make people happy and associate happiness with us. So then when TV came along, you could mix visuals with the music, and the effect was even bigger. And this is when jingles really cemented themselves as a fixture in American culture, creating kind of what is known as, according to thejinglewriter.com, a shared auditory landscape.
I knew Carolyn was going to love that.
Mm-hmm. So just like you said, Carolyn, jingles not only shaped advertising, but also became a communal experience. And because we all knew them, it fostered a sense of belonging with one another. And even from a business perspective, there's lots of evidence that catchy jingles significantly influence consumer behavior, mostly by enhancing brain recall. Mostly by enhancing brand recall. But I think it's that sense of belonging that is sort of like the mind blower right there. These things that were intended to sell us things gave us a sense of belonging with one
another. And connection. It's like everything we talk about on here. All the things that connected us. I mean, the jingles that we're about to talk about, I mean, that was a strong, powerful connection for us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And everybody knew it.
I just had a memory. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I just had a memory actually of my parents singing jingles that they remembered. And so they get all excited together. And so now I know those, like, brush up, brush up, brush up. There's a
new pen of toothpaste.
That's in Greece. Remember in Greece? She does
that's right. But my parents would sing that one. And they would sing something about the Texaco man, because Milton Berle had, like, his show was sponsored by Texaco. You can trust your car to the man who wears the star, the big bright Texaco star. Yay.
So I just I can't believe you know that.
Well, that's the thing. They're catchy. And, you know, my parents were singing it and all of that. So they really were, like we've said several times here, just bonded people.
Yeah.
And well, their parents didn't grow up together. Our parents grew up in, like my parents grew up on two different coasts. And they both knew the Pepsodent commercial and they would sing it.
Yeah. And there's got to be some sort of witchcraft involved in the people that write these, because Carolyn, that just came from somewhere in a deep fold of your brain. Yeah. You probably haven't thought of that one in years. And these jingles, like when I was thinking of the two I'm about to talk about, I didn't have to go look up the lyrics. They just come out, and I haven't thought of them in years. And so I don't know what kind of magic and witchcraft, witchery they're using when they create them. But there has to be some science behind it, I bet. Like the rhyming pattern or something.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And some of these jingles even went on to be legit songs and even charted on the Billboard Top 100. And perhaps this is because they were written by award-winning songwriters, like real songwriters, like Paul Williams, who wrote We've Only Just Begun for the Crocker Bank. And then, of course, the Carpenters went on to sing that. Right. And Paul Anka, who sang The Time of Our Lives for Kodak. For Kodak. And that went to number 7 on the charts. And then, to our great surprise, Barry Manilow, who wrote Too Many to List. And how did we find out about Barry Manilow writing our favorite commercial jingles? Because we all had his number one best-selling album, Barry Manilow Live, which included a song medley called VSM, which stands for Very Strange Medley. Everybody's nodding there. Both Carolyn and Joe, like, nodding. Barry Manilow Live is known. It's, I mean, probably the most known thing about Barry Manilow Live. It's the blue one where he's standing there like a starfish. Is known for spilling the tea and revealing to the world that before he was Barry Manilow, he either wrote or performed the commercials for Kentucky Fried Chicken, State Farm Insurance, Stridex, Band-Aid, Dr. Pepper, Pepsi, and McDonald's, because you deserve a break today. And he tells us that he decided to include this on his album, or in his concert that would eventually become an album, because his artsy-fartsy friends were like, do not do this. Do not include this on this album. Are you crazy? But it was a brilliant move. It was straight out of the pages of a PR secrets handbook, because number one, we're still talking about it. It was like a secret he was letting us in on. And we all knew those songs, like the backs of our hands. And it actually made us feel closer to Barry Manilow. We're like, you wrote that? I've known that my whole life. And plus, it was really entertaining. And many people bought the album just for VSM alone.
Oh, for sure. I loved singing that. Didn't you guys love just like performing that and singing it?
Totally,
you just said, I remember realizing, like, I just thought I was in on something so cool knowing that he wrote it.
It was a secret.
Gosh, and VSM, I listen to that over and over and over again. Like, I know right where he stops the one jingle and goes into the next one, like, if I was actually going to sing in, how much of a pause.
And then at the very end, you deserve a today.
It's like the finale.
And then he goes, McDonald's.
Felt like Oprah there for a second.
McDonald's.
So great. It's so
we warned you, listeners, it's going to be one of those episodes today.
Yeah.
So.
And you remember, like, even I would say probably the biggest one being McDonald's, You Deserve a Break Today. When you heard that, you were like, what?
For sure.
Barry Manilow wrote that? It was it was like he wrote the Pledge of Allegiance, basically.
Okay.
So get up and get away.
Oh, it was so fun. And the ones that, and I sounded like, and the ones that he wrote, we're going to be talking about still, because mm-hmm. many of those are going to show up in our listeners' top 10 lists. So hang on, everyone.
We're still shouting, talking about them.
Your favorite, like you didn't say this one for this particular soft drink. Just hold your horses. Mm-hmm. Slow mm-hmm. your roll. We're going to get there. But mm-hmm. first, before we do that, what we want to do is kind of give you guys a glimpse into the jingles that have stuck with us the longest. Now, many of the ones on this top 10 list we're about to share clearly are some of our favorites, but we're going to save those because there's way more than 10, right, that we all know right. and love.
Yeah.
So we're going to just kind of share some that maybe didn't make the list, but we really felt like should. Maybe like the PCPS host honorable mention, could we yeah. call it? Mm-hmm. And I want to start things off with this classic from the early to mid 80s. And I think instead of telling you what it is, I'm just going to sing it because why not, right?
And I bet we'll be able to join right
Oh, my God. I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. They got a million toys at Toys R Us that I can play with.
From bikes to trains to video games, it's the biggest toy store there is.
Gee whiz.
I don't want to grow up, because baby, if I did, I couldn't be a Toys R Us kid. More games, more toys. Oh, boy. I want to be a Toys R Us kid.
Can't you see the giraffe running, like, yeah, in a
Jeffrey.
Field?
Yeah.
Jeffrey. Oh, Jeffrey, that's right.
But if you do watch the 1983 commercial in particular, you will be so hoosker-dude. I'm going to put it in the Weekly Reader this week by the kids who each sing a different verse. There's a little girl that starts and she's surrounded by stuffed animals. And she's the one who starts, I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. For me, I about lost my mind this morning when I saw the curly-haired boy with the big glasses playing with like the robot thing. Like it looks like a robot spider that jumps up and down. Yeah, totally Husker Dude. It was like I saw that commercial last night. And yeah. you just start singing it. You just know all the words. And I feel like this is one we probably sang on the playgrounds or, I don't know. It was just, it's pure joy, that, yeah. that jingle,
oh,
don't
yeah.
you think?
I mean, gosh, and a toy store is pure joy. I mean, just, it was the perfect combination of joy and catchy phrases and just thinking, I love Toys R Us. What a dream to go there.
Well,
it was so huge.
The lyrics are genius. I love that last line. I don't want to grow up because, baby, if I did, I couldn't be Ooh, a Toys R Us yeah. kid. Isn't that yeah. just so cute?
That is incredibly
clever. I will disagree
clever.
Because yeah. I feel like I could still be a Toys R Us kid and I'm well, grown up.
Yeah, look at what
I
we're doing.
I get it. Yeah, I get the idea.
Although okay, I always said it was, I'm a Toys R Us kid. I thought it was Toys R Us because RST, right? U A B C D E F G H I J K L M N O P Q R S T U Q R S T U V Toys R Us. Because Toys R Us doesn't make sense. There's no, nobody, it's, we aren't, that's incorrect. It's Toys R
Well,
R
that's
we.
Right. It's not correct grammar.
It's Toys
that's
R
true.
We. So Toys R, who would say Toys R Us? And so I just assumed it was Toys R Us.
Could you not read?
I don't, maybe it was after I could read that I figured that out. But I, there are also times where I just didn't believe things. Like, that's not it.
Oh, really? That, imagine that.
Yeah, I know. I know. Big surprise.
A little
that's
doubting
not right.
Thomas there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's Toys R We.
Oh, my God. Okay, my second very favorite one. I love this jingle, and I love the commercial. And as I start to sing it, y'all are going to remember the commercial. So just pretend you're watching the commercial. And first you get the voiceover. No little cinnamon gum freshens breath longer than Big Red. So kiss a little longer, laugh a little longer, stay close a little longer, longer with Big Red.
The Big Red freshness lasts right through it.
And if you guys remember the 1985 commercial, it's the so good. The bride and groom start kissing and they keep coming back to him throughout the whole commercial and they're still kissing. And like the maid of honor and the oh, best yeah. man are like, mm-hmm. oh, Jesus, what? And my favorite was the teenage boy and girl kissing. Like his car is all like state, like he's leaving for college, you know, yeah. like, state yeah. or bust. It literally says like state or bust. And they're kissing. And his friends finally just get exasperated and drive off without him. And she's not got like the cutest hair. I just love that. I love that whole like, that big red freshness lasts right through it. Your fresh breath.
It was like clean cut smut.
She would take it by. Yeah, yeah. It was so good. Mm-hmm.
Clean
I love
cut
that one.
Smut.
Clean
I like
cut
that.
Smut. It was, clean se- cut it was smut, sexy, yeah. But clean and good hearted all at the same time. I just remember when Big Red came out and it was such a big deal and it's so cinnamony. And just literally recently, like 4 weeks ago, I just had a craving for Big Red and I left the house and I went and I bought Big Red and I didn't even need to chew it. I just put it in our junk drawer and our junk drawer smells like Big Red.
Yes.
And Mike was like, what's with the Big Red in the drawer? Is like, I don't know. I just needed it. I just wanted it.
Well, we talked about it in our 1975 50th birthday celebration episode recently, and Big Red was invented.
It was brand new.
Premiered, whatever you want to call it, released in 1975. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you were telling us about that. So that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fun.
Yeah, so those are two of mine that didn't make our list, but I think they're solid choices, don't you think?
Oh, they're solid. And
they're good
you
ones.
Know what else? I think there's a very good chance we could have a part two of this jingles episode because there are so many jingles. And I also differentiated between a jingle and a slogan. Like, there could also be those taglines that we all know, but we kind of stayed away from those, although I am going to say one in what I'm going to talk about. Mm-hmm. I'm breaking all the rules.
But if I sing it, it's still a jingle.
There you go. That's right. Put a little tune to it. Mm-hmm. And I also broke the rules to almost everything you said, Michelle, because I wrote this outline, and so I can change the rules, break them, whatever, make them up. Because the first jingle that I'm going to share with you guys was maybe the most mentioned of all in our listener, when we asked you guys, our listeners, but it is such a special place in my heart that I wanted to get to devote a little time and put a little personal spin on it. So I am going to share with you that my probably top jingle would be plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is for Alka-Seltzer.
Ah, those lovely bubbles bursting into action, instantly soothing your upset stomach and speeding relief to your aching head. Alka-Seltzer works fast.
And I will tell you that it's much more than a jingle to me, okay? Because my poor dad had some digestive issues when I was growing up, okay?
Oh, no.
My dad, we either had Alka-Seltzer, Rolaids, how do you spell relief? R-O-L-A-I-D-S. Or my dad would just sport a Maalox milk mustache around a lot. My dad smelled like peppermint a lot. Alka-Seltzer was very special, though, because when my dad wanted to take some, he let me open up the wrapper and drop in those tablets.
No way.
So you fun. Guys,
it you was like plop, a plopped. Magic. I plopped, and then I watched the fizz. And I sang, and then it was like a magic trick, you guys, because it would all, bubble. And then they were gone. There were no more tablets.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And I remember once, like, my dad said, you want to take a sip? And I was like, okay. And, I guess I thought it was going to taste like Sprite because of all the effervescence and everything. And you go to take it, and it's just like.
It's like chalk.
Yes, it doesn't.
I wanted it. I thought it was like a treat. I didn't realize it was medicinal. So I'm like, can we get some of that Alka-Seltzer?
Right. Well, it's a fun, song, and it's really catchy. And the ad before, we had the kind of fun ones in the 70s with like kind of the overweight dad who ate too much. Yeah. And he's like, I can't believe I ate the whole thing. I would say that to my dad. If he like want his Alka-Seltzer, I'd be like, Dad, I bet you can't believe you ate the whole thing. Or he'd be eating this thing at dinner and be like, Dad, are you sure you want to eat the whole thing? Poor dad. I love you, Dad. But your, I don't know, what do I want to call this? Your medicines or whatever. This was, before Prilosec and all those kind of things of now. This was, and it just is my dad so much.
I have an Alka-Seltzer moment when my mom brought me as a guest, I think I was five, to a luncheon. Luncheon was a new vocabulary word for me. Luncheon was like lunch, but fancy. And it was with like, I don't know if it was a church group or something, but it was like 20 women around a big table in someone's home. And I had to dress up. And when I finished eating, I leaned back in my chair and I went, I can't believe I ate the whole thing. And I got in so much trouble. Oh. I got in big trouble. And I was like, I did not understand. I thought I was making a funny joke. And I didn't know that that would, I still kind of don't understand a little bit. But
yeah,
my mom
I would
was
think
probably,
everyone would chuckle.
Oh, they totally laughed. Everybody laughed. But also, I didn't really understand why they were laughing. I thought I was quipping, but I didn't understand that this five-year-old, like, mimicking this commercial would be funny after eating little cucumber sandwiches or something. But my mom did not find it funny. And I think she was probably trying to impress all the luncheon ladies, and her snarky five-year-old was not helping.
Gosh, Kristen, you've always been Kristen, haven't you?
I got
you've never been anybody but Kristen. Well, I do want to share some fun Alka-Seltzer plop plop fizz fizz facts with you guys, because I did go down a little bit of a rabbit hole, and I wanted you to know that, yes, it debuted in 1951, okay? Oh, so God. It was around a while, but not until the 70s and 80s did it really get catchy where it was used in kind of everyday lingo. But earlier, before this kind of 70s commercials that we remember, the little guy, do you remember? There was like a little cartoony guy with, I think he had like a not a staff, but I don't know, a little cane. And he would like dance around the bottles and everything. But yes, so the 70s, of course, when we're coming of age and my poor dad needs some Alka-Seltzer is when I remember that. Okay, you talked earlier, Kristen, about musicians creating the jingles and how they can, you know, obviously the catchy tunes that stick in our minds. So this jingle was composed by Tom Dawes. Okay, I didn't know his name, but he was a former member of the 1960s band The Circle, spelled C-Y-R-K-L-E.
No.
And that same group recorded Red Rubber Ball.
Oh, no way.
Yes.
Oh, funny.
And yeah, so he had a real gift for melody, which is why that Alka-Seltzer ad and that tune feels so like hummable. Like you could just, yes. Now, here's my super fun fact. Okay, everybody, this might win you $1 million on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. So that catchy phrase, it was written by Paul Margolis. He's an advertising copywriter. Okay, it's right here, everyone. He's an advertising copywriter who later became a major force in advertising, lots of major creative campaigns. But we might know him best for helping birth. He is Julianne Margulies' dad.
Yes,
provided that.
No way.
Yes.
I knew that because I listened to her. She's got the greatest.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You did listen to that.
Called Something Sunshine. Yes. I forgot now, but I love that. So when you're saying that, that was recalling that back to me.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the wildest connection. Here's this woman who's like, my dad made plop, plop, fizz, fizz.
Yes. And what an iconic, again, you know, it was so classic and such a pop culture moment that she could say that at any party and people would be like, wow,
everyone
that's
knows.
So cool. That's right. Everybody
knows.
Every age, every, you know, and that's the thing too. Like, you know, it was obviously targeted to our parents when we were growing up. I mean, we weren't, you know, wanting and yelling, buy me Alka-Seltzer.
Well, I was.
Well, Kristen was, yeah. We just learned that.
Yeah. That's right. This is true. But it was still nonetheless something that just weaved its way into our lives and, you know, singing it and obviously recognizing it when it's at our house and all that stuff. So, yes, again, Alka-Seltzer. And again, because it had a special place in my
heart. And some of these that have that shorter kind of tagline, like the, you know, I'm a Toys R Us kid, you might say, or plop, plop, fizz, fizz, you might shorten it down. Those truly became part of the lexicon of those decades.
Yeah. Yes.
You didn't have to sing the entire plop, plop, fizz, fizz song. You know, that was all these little phrases became things you could just say to people, and it's very recognizable.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like this next one. Another great crowd, you know,
great
crowd
party.
Great crowd party trick.
Yeah.
Yep. Yes. Because you might remember this one. You're not fully clean until you're
zestfully clean.
Zestfully clean.
Oh, that
is going to be
one.
My next favorite. only because, and I'm saying favorite, and I'm favorites in quotation marks, because I really want to talk about bar soap, you guys. I wanted to talk about this for a while. There are so many bar soap and bar soap commercials when we were growing up. Were we dirtier back then? Are there even as many bar soaps on the shelves today? Like, think about it. We had Coast, Irish Spring, which had the fakest Irish accents. I went back and watched it. You know, it's like, and they whistle through the whole thing.
They're great commercials, though.
They are.
Morning, usually, yeah.
and lava. Do you remember the lava soap? And like the dad came home after like working on the, I don't know, the oil platform somewhere. Yeah. His hands are all black and he's rubbing the lava soap.
I had a font thing flash through my head.
Yes,
the way it looks.
The packaging.
Label, the font.
The packaging. And then like for Coast, even the color, like we always had growing up, Palmolive, either the green or the gold.
Yep.
It was just one solid color. Coast, you guys, it kind of had swirls in it.
Yes, it was beautiful.
Spring, they would cut the soap. Probably,
why did
Michelle,
they cut it?
When you're so, they wanted to show you that it went all the way through. Like it was layers of this goodness.
They take their pocket knife out.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then we had Caress. Remember, it had the baby oil, and then we showed the oil.
I hated that one. Yeah. I mean, like when we used it, like when we got it to try, it was so effing slippery.
Yeah.
It would make the whole bathtub slippery. So then your bathtub was like a danger zone. Like, it would leave everything, that kind of oily residue.
I'm just going to name a couple other ones just because. Soap. There's a lot. There was a lot.
We were a Dial family.
Yep. I've got Dial next. And then there was Jergens. There was Lifebuoy. There was Safeguard and Tone.
Remember Tone?
I do remember that's another font one.
They don't have that anymore. Like most of these we still have on the shelf, but not Tone.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to Tone or Lifebuoy. I'm not sure
that's right.
And it was Lifebuoy, but it was like buoy.
Lifebuoy. And yeah, I don't know what. Did it float? It floated. It did it.
Oh, and ivory floated.
Oh, my
yes,
God.
Ivory did float.
Like a little figure on top of it.
Yes.
Like if you're playing with your Weebles in the bathtub, you could like have it wobble on the. And those of you listening who also were Dial families, what was wrong? It was almost like that color yellow, like came from the nuclear power plant or something. It was just a little
wrong. It's a 70s color.
It I don't think we were allowed to use it because my mom thought we'd get a UTI.
Probably
I think that fell into the UTI category at my house.
Why was that a UTI one?
Well, it was very heavily
scented.
My mom
just thought things that were weird colored and heavily scented could give you UTI. So, no bubble bath for me, no fun soaps.
I think when I got Coast
in junior high, it was a big deal. I was like so excited.
And Camay, that was mom's soap.
Camay. I want to ask you guys this. So now we are liquid soap people. Like we just use the pump, like Aveeno, because so you don't get dry, itchy skin, especially in Colorado, it's very dry. And then like in your guest bathroom and stuff, you can always have pump soap. So if someone comes over, they're not, that's gross. I don't remember liquid soap back in the 80s. Do you guys?
I do. I remember
Was it like a splurge though?
I'm very excited by novelty. So I always remember when new things come out. So I remember when liquid soap came out and you were like, it's in a bottle?
Because even by our kitchen sink, we had a little soap dish with a bar of soap to wash your hands when you came in from
like
playing outside.
Gross. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
or
for
off
sure.
The
it
oil
always
rig.
Might have little dirt on it or something. Or the little
pubic hair.
You know when
Don't wash your bits by the kitchen sink.
You just stopped me cold because I was talking about by the kitchen sink. I hope you guys were watching this on YouTube because I was just like.
Kristen's a little different.
I don't know what you guys were washing by your kitchen sink.
Taking a spit bath in the kitchen.
Anyway. In the soap dish, you guys have to remember this, that so then when you put your wet soap back and then all the water runs off, then it kind of dries or it's kind of still wet. Sometimes that would be kind of dirty because the dirt that would be on the soap would kind of, but we didn't have liquid soap. I'm just imagining if it was available in the 80s and I saw it, I probably thought that was for someone like Elizabeth Taylor to buy and use.
Yeah, it's fancy. I think the first one was soft soap.
Oh yes. But that wasn't, was that in the 80s? I do remember soft soap.
I think it was probably in the 80s. Soft soap.
Okay.
What are you reminding me? I'm like having this moment, like a deja vu thing with soft soap. Maybe that's like the Saturday Night Live. Yes. That was it when they're doing the PBS or,
the
NPR.
NPR.
Yeah, delicious dish.
Sweaty balls.
Dusty muffin.
Oh, your balls.
Kristen, do you have any favorite jingles?
Tasty.
Just in the background, you can hear Michelle. That's talking about someone's balls being tasty. I also have tons, but there are some that just bring me joy, that absolutely make me giddy. And I have to mention just two quickly before I give you my two real ones, because they're more like utterances. They're not actual jingles, but they are set to music. And the first one is, uh-oh, SpaghettiO. And I think
of course.
I used to walk around saying that all the time.
Yeah, of course. You don't ever like trip and stumble or whatever without saying that.
It's not, exactly, and sometimes you would just say it, like if somebody fell, you'd be like, uh-oh, SpaghettiO.
Yeah, it's always.
Like you're helping them out.
How clever is that? Because it's all about like, you know, getting your, as an advertiser, getting your product name out there and like people hearing it and recognizing it. So how many of us were just SpaghettiOing it all over the place?
I feel like that's as common, like if someone in the 70s or 80s would go, see you later, and you might go, alligator, or they would say it. If someone just said, uh-oh, without it. Someone is bound to throw in SpaghettiO.
SpaghettiO.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What do kids say when they're hungry at noon?
Uh-oh, SpaghettiO.
What do kids say when they pick up a spoon?
Uh-oh, SpaghettiOs.
Okay, how about this one? This one I can hardly do this to your face because I love it so much. Ch-ch-ch-chia, pet.
I know, ch-ch-ch-chia.
There's nothing more to the song. That's all there is. They were like, it's almost like they had to film the commercial and they didn't have a jingle yet. And they're like, oh my God, we're filming. Okay, what are we going to do? Somebody sing it. Somebody. Ch-ch-ch-chia.
But they're like, no, they first started it like this. Ch-ch-ch-chia, pet. And someone's like, no. You know what? We're going down with the pet. We're going down. Ch-ch-ch-chia, pet. Makes it sound so much more musical. It's got more musicality that way.
It's so musical. It is so musical. Okay, but my two favorite favorites. We'll start with, again, I'm so happy because I love this so much. Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't.
Almond Joy's got nuts. Mounds don't. Almond Joy's got real milk chocolate. Coconut and munchy nuts too. Mounds got deep dark chocolate and chewy coconut.
I'll just sing that for the hell of it.
Even though I don't like Almond Joys.
No, I don't even eat them. I don't care. I don't care.
Or Mounds.
I don't eat either one of those things.
No, I didn't either. But and also the commercial I'm remembering so was so funny. It was almost like, remember in Highlights magazine where you had Goofus and Gallant?
Yes.
And one was always doing the wrong thing. And then Gallant came in to say, the commercial was very much like that. Sometimes you feel like it. And it was someone doing something so sort of
it
like.
It was, my favorite was like the jockey riding the horse backwards.
Backwards.
And yesterday I'm singing it and I'm going like this, like I'm riding, like I'm a jockey and I'm riding a horse backwards. And Mike is like, what are you doing?
I love that one.
Because it was all people doing nutty things. They were nutty. Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't. And then for some reason, at some point, and I could not find out any information why this is, they switched it to Peter Paul, Alma Joy got nuts. Mounds don't because... Like, Peter Paul, Alma Joy. Like, why do they have to suddenly get the company in there? Peter Paul, Alma Joy. Nobody calls it Peter Paul's Almond Joy. Nobody cares. And I couldn't figure out why they did that. So here was the brilliance of this commercial, besides being ridiculously catchy and funny. One commercial, two candy bars. Almond Joy's got nuts.
Right.
Mounds don't. They saved so much money. But they only needed one commercial.
That's right.
Yes. And they did all the nutty behavior.
And it made sense because, you know, when you are like me, I remember you go trick-or-treating and you'd always get the little Almond Joys or the Mounds, right? Mm-hmm. And I actually was kind of a weird kid who liked coconut. I feel like a lot of people were like, that's trash. Get that out of my candy bag. Mm-hmm. But I didn't like nuts at the time. Now I could eat, you know, my weight in almonds and be happy. But at the time I didn't, but my mom loved them.
That was a mom candy.
So yes, it was an Almond candy. Joy Mounds thing with me and my mom, which was kind of fun. So when I'd go through like my, so that commercial was kind of fun too. Cause you know, you're like, it's both of them.
Yeah.
Here you go. We're all harmonious. We're all living in harmony. To quote and that a different
the whole concept of sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't, it started in 1970, but the whole song and the jockey writing backwards, that's 1977. So that's one reason we remember that so well. And it wasn't just catchy. It was iconic. And according to chefsource.com, it was, this is a quote, a masterclass in concise branding, instantly associating the two candies with their distinguishing features. Its success lay in its memorability, repetitive nature, and sing-song quality that it made it easy to hum along to. And in 2003, the lyrics, sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't, were included in the Advertising Slogan Hall of Fame.
Deserved. Mm-hmm. Well deserved.
Well deserved. Yes. I agree. I totally agree. And now today, they still have that. There's still a thread of it. But at some point, they thought that what we experienced was outdated. And the branding people thought that younger people were evolving to require more sophisticated musical arrangements and performances, which is that it you guys, it's so boring. It's so freaking so boring. That's what you'll see today. And it's positively boring. It's not at all nutty. They replace nutty with tropical. Now it's like, sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. Like they're being literal. It's
also
dumb.
That's BS. Today's kids would love to walk around singing.
Yes.
Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes,
sometimes
you don't. Also, you know what else is a good one that I was going to mention that I didn't, but now because this is a good reason to mention it. With the candy bar theme, also very quick and catchy, is give me a break, me off a piece of that candy bar. That's it.
Totally.
That's it.
Yes,
but
totally.
It just shows you breaking it off, which was also a very cool concept as a kid. You're like, I want to break off a piece of my candy bar. But that's another thing you would just sing along, like super.
Or what about this one? This was one of my favorites, and it's actually one of my favorite candy bars. And just see, tell me what image you see when I sing this. $100,000 bar. It's like they're taking a bite and they're the stretching
caramel.
It up.
Oh, that caramel.
Yes, and the caramel is stretching up. $100,000 bar.
Always get that this time of year. Mm-hmm. We always have mini ones.
I love those.
To get out. Well, they're really low calorie.
They are.
Oh, really?
No, they truly are. They're like, if you get, because we always get the big mix of Halloween candy that has those in it for this reason, because I love them, but they're way less calories than other ones. It's just caramel and then the chocolate. It's not like it's all the, It's not, It's, like, it's you know what it is? It's basically good for you.
Yeah. It's Watchers candy.
Like Three Musketeers. That's supposed to be another one. Yes, like a lot of air in it. It's not supposed to be bad for you.
And so then, of course, $100,000 bar changed its name to 100 grand. And 100 grand bar, like it just doesn't
100
work.
100 grand bar.
Doesn't work.
No.
It's stupid. No. Stupid. And then the other one that makes me giddy is this one. It walks downstairs alone and
stares and makes a slinkity sound. A spring, a marvelous thing. Everyone knows it's Slinky. It's Slinky, it's Slinky. For fun, it's a wonderful toy. It's fun for a girl and a boy. It's fun for a girl and a boy.
I love it.
And I can picture the commercial, and then it goes down the stairs.
Yes, it's going down the
and
stairs.
And how exciting. Yes. How excited
never went down
were
the
you?
Stairs.
Well, ours didn't do it like that, but sometimes we could get it to go like one, two.
Yeah.
Yes.
Before it fell over. Yes. And that was like freaking, that was like.
You that was felt, Christmas.
Yeah. You felt like you were at like watching an Olympic event.
Ten out of ten.
Oh, did you ever like pull it so far that it didn't really go back, or it got like
twisted? It got twisted and like tangled
it got,
back on itself.
In each other.
Yes.
The worst. Uh-huh.
And then it's like over. Then it's just over. The slinky.
Well, then they tried to make that plastic slinky trash.
Oh,
the where they made it out of plastic.
Oh, lame.
No, don't.
Stupid.
Yeah. Don't give them your money.
No.
So this is interesting. The slinky, like so many things in the age of. The golden age of television was invented accidentally when an engineer of some kind like knocked a spring off of his work table, and instead of just falling to the ground, it walked down the stairs. And
That's so interesting.
Isn't that crazy? And he's like, hey, I'm going to sell springs. So the jingle was created in the early 60s, but like, this is going to be a common theme, I think. But it wasn't until the 70s that the jingle was tweaked just a little bit, and then it became the song that we know. Just a few different notes, just a few different words, and it was so much better. And not coincidentally, it also the sales were also much better. There's even one jingle version that mentions a great gift for a girl and a boy. So okay. It was clearly yes. airing around Christmas time. And I think everybody got a Slinky in their stocking at some
Absolutely.
Point.
You can still buy them at Target, like the actual, or, and I shouldn't, you know, I don't want to give Target.
But with no jingle, maybe nobody wants it.
You can still buy them, the metal ones, today at your favorite small toy store because I've seen them and I think, more kids just need a simple toy like that.
Yeah.
No batteries required.
But can I ask you, I'm trying to remember, besides going down the stairs, all I can remember doing with it would be holding it in two hands and going like this. Is that all you could do? What else could you do?
Absolutely. You could have races.
Isn't that enough?
You have races down the stairs.
Well, I know, but that never worked really. And if you lived in a ranch house, what were you going to do? I mean, that was also the other joke.
I feel like there was a way it could do that almost, even if it wasn't on stairs. I don't know. I just thought
no,
I get enough.
You have to have stairs.
But it's true. Out of just going like this with that listener.
I know. I did.
It's very sensory. It's very sensory.
It looks like we're juggling our boobs. Unless you're watching on YouTube. So, listeners, we're doing our hands like up and down. Yes. Like you have one half of the Slinky and one.
I have a feeling they all know. They're in their cars and on their walks right now. They're doing that same movement because that's all we could do.
But yeah, when we moved into a house that when we moved to Minnesota, we moved to a 2-story house, and that was like banger. Like now, the Slinky is going to go all the way down the stairs.
Get a Slinky now! It didn't.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh. Well, thank you, everybody, for sharing your favorites. And when I say everybody, I mean Kristen and Michelle, because we are getting ready to share your, meaning our listeners and our followers, your top 10. And this is in no particular order. And like I said, I've already shared one of the biggest ones, and that was the Plop Plop Fizz Fizz. So that's not even in this top 10 list.
So it's really just 10. It's just 10 of them. There's
yeah,
no
it's
math.
Just, so
there's
no it's math. Just the top 10-ish that got the most, you know, was repeated the most, I guess.
You're a big time author now, Kristen. You don't have time to do this kind
math.
Of math right now.
Yeah,
so,
right. It was, you know, and there would be a lot of like three or two.
Right.
It was just like not
too many
worth,
ties.
Remember.
Too many ties.
Way too many ties. You'll even see that I put two together on some of the. You know, things
I will
to count
also
as
say while looking at this list, and I think we're going to add, like I said, ours are honorable mentions. So it's more like, you know, it's more like 16, 18, 20. I don't know how you would even rank these. They're all so,
agreed.
So good.
Right.
Yeah.
They're
right.
So good.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so iconic, every single one of them.
Yes. And once you sing them or, you know, remember them, just like when you were doing, I think it was the Slinky one, Kristen, I just got goosies. I just got nipple lightning. It was just like, it felt so good. And I hadn't even thought about that song, but it just, the endorphins, whatever, dopamine, I don't know what all those chemicals are surging through me, but it just made me feel so good. And so, yeah, it's like 18, 20, 30, because you forget about them. But the minute you hear them, you're like, oh my gosh, yeah, that is one of my favorites.
And like I said, they come right back. The one you're about to talk about, Carolyn. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, I was singing it to Brian the other day, and I was like doing all the little the descriptors of all the people. And I was like, he was looking at me like, where's, I was like, I don't know. I don't know. And they're coming out of my mouth. And I'm like, where? Wouldn't it be so fun if we could have a VSM of all of these, like all these 20, 25 that when you're when you need that dopamine hit, you know, when you're feeling a little blue, you could just play it in your car.
Yeah. I think we try to do that. Well, yes, let's go right to the first one that our listener shared. Many of you did. And Michelle just remembered the words recently. And speaking of the words or the lyrics, I got to tell you guys, these are pretty cringy.
Oh,
this
so
is
cringy.
The Armor Hot Dog song, which we would just belt out. And as soon as I read like the first couple of words, somebody that one of you all that shared it with us wrote, hot dogs. Armor hot dogs, and then I'm like, what kind of kids eat Armor hot dogs?
So fun though, but when I was singing it, it came out of my mouth without me think about it, and I go, fat kids, and then I was like, oh, I like covered my mouth, like, oh,
I know. and sissy kids.
I'm so bad.
It's not something you say.
And they're like smiling, like fat kids, sissy kids.
Woohoo! Terrible, real terrible.
But we all remember it, and it is giving us a little joy right now singing it. But yeah, this is like Husker Du in a different way, almost remembering these jingles because they're right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. No hesitation at all remembering. Like these next two.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So this first one I'm going to talk about is a jingle. My friend, when I lived in Washington, fifth grade to ninth grade, my friend Lisa and I would sing this song all the time. And you know what? Y'all, there's really nothing quite as endearing as two little fifth grade girls walking around going, I can bring home the bacon. Never let you forget you're a man because I'm a woman. And literally, we're like 11 years old.
Yeah.
What's interesting about this jingle for Anjali Perfume is, Carolyn, you know how you said at the beginning of the episode that now they're just kind of repurposing songs? Mm-hmm. This one and another one I'm going to talk about in just a little bit, I was so surprised to learn, like this, I can bring home the bacon fried. It's actually a modified version of a 1966 song by Peggy Lee called I'm a Woman. And
I'm a woman.
That's part of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that commercial that we're talking about first aired in 1980, coincidentally, when I was in fifth grade. This is probably why Lisa and I are singing it in fifth grade, because they're airing it all the time, right?
Yes.
And it became very, very popular. And then the phrase where the voiceover says, the 8-hour perfume for the 24-hour woman. Was a very key part of that commercial.
And just think about that. Like, think the message that I think they thought they were being feminist, but really they were introducing us to the second shift, right? That you can do anything you want to, and you can also cook, and you can also satisfy your husband.
Exactly.
Like, welcome to hell.
Right. But you've got to be cooking. You got to fry up his bacon.
You got to fry up his bacon.
But you know what's funny? Let's just think about this. My mom, very strong, very feminist woman, in 1980, we're in, like I said, in Washington. This is one of our living with a stepfather times. And when I woke up to go to school in the mornings, me and my sister, my mom would be back in bed asleep. I mean, that sounds like, now it sounds like she's terrible. Honestly, we didn't care. We loved to eat Fruit Loops and whatever. So, then she'd probably get up to say goodbye to us and get us out the door. I mean, I'm certain this was our preferred thing. I would have never wanted to eat bacon and eggs before I went to school in fifth grade. In a million years, I wanted a Pop-Tart and fruit, and you know. But my stepfather, when we got up in the morning, you could smell the bacon and the eggs, because at like 6 a.m., she was up cooking him bacon and eggs morning before he left for work. And then it was like everything was still dirty in the kitchen. You know what I mean? I can still picture it was like a black cast iron skillet with all that bacon grease still sitting on the stove when I'd go down to pour my Lucky Charms or whatever. Yeah. Again, this is no shade to my mom, because like I said, preferred for sure. But but then you look at like this commercial, and it's kind of what my mom was living.
And it makes you wonder who wrote the commercial.
She did not wear Anjali, though. She wore Norel perfume, but she did not wear Anjali. Yeah, I know.
Like, it's current. I think it thinks it's being current, but it's really being retroactive. Or maybe it was just introducing the time in which we started to do all of the things. I don't know. And I remember being a little confused. Like, at first it was empowering, because she just exuded power.
Oh, she got all
right.
Yeah,
but then it was a little
it,
confusing.
Really, she's feminine, but she's also subservient.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're getting that when you're in fifth grade.
Yeah.
we loved singing that. But how funny is that to think of two little fifth graders going, and never, never let you forget you're a man. Okay. I can really wail on that song. Another perfume commercial that our listeners wanted to make sure that we knew they remembered was, there's a fragrance that's here to stay, and they call it Charlie.
And wasn't Cheryl Teagues in that one?
I was going to say that. Yes, it was Cheryl Teagues. Yeah.
With her trousers on. She's like walking across the street with her hair like swinging, and then she turns around like.
Yeah, but that's also pretty singable,
right? Do any of those still
exist?
Does Anjali or Charlie, are they
good
still
question.
Out there?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Kristen, did you sell them in your kiosk? Yes. But it was called like Gnarly.
Yeah.
Manjoli.
Kristen worked in the knockoff perfume kiosk at the mall.
Because I'm a bum and Bon Jovi.
I'm sorry. That's so funny.
Okay. Everything was fake. Okay. The next one I thought Michelle was doing, so I didn't do any work on this, but I'm going to tell you what it is anyway.
There are two of my very favorites.
Do you want to talk about this one?
Well, let's start it and I'll chime in.
Okay. So this one, even if I don't do the point of this whole episode is without doing any research on this, I can sing it for you. I was an Oscar Mayer wiener. That is what I really like to be. And if I were an Oscar Mayer wiener, everyone would be in love with me. I mean, about memorable.
That's brilliant.
And it's brilliant. Everyone would love me if I was a hot dog.
Well, unlike the Armor hot dog jingle writer who was shaming children, this one is just lovely and delightful and so funny. I love it so much.
I wish I were an Oscar Mayer wiener. Mm-hmm. And
Mayer really was doing a good job with
these jingles. They really were. And just the syncopation of that, I wish I were an Oscar Mayer wiener. I think that was really attractive on singing on the bus. Uh-huh.
And think about the next one. Like the Oscar Mayer wiener had merch.
Yes,
you know, that's right. You get your little whistle or we know all about the car or whatever, but yeah.
And we didn't think about what we were saying. I wish I were a hot dog. Yeah. No. We didn't care.
No. But it's just so cute and funny because then everyone would be in love with me. And also now for pitting Armor against Oscar Mayer, I'm for sure going to go with Oscar Mayer because they're not, like I just said, shaming the children.
Yeah, that's right.
And Oscar Mayer kept it going with this other one that we love, right? My baloney has a first name. It's O-S-C-A-R.
My baloney has a second name. It's M-A-Y-E-R. Oh, I love to eat it every day. And if you ask me why, I'll say, 'cause Oscar Mayer has a way with B-O-L-O-G-N-A.
Oscar Mayer, the first name in Bologna.
How's that?
All right, we're going to move on to some more foods because two Burr jingles made our list that you all shared. One was the iconic, and I guess this isn't really a song, but it kind of is, and we can't not have it. Two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. And do you guys know that McDonald's actually had a contest during this campaign time? Whoever could say that the fastest, they got a lifetime's worth of Big Macs.
What did they get, Carolyn? What did they get?
Let's try it.
Because everybody tried to do it super fast.
Yes, yes, yes.
In fact, I can't even do it. I think that's why I got trauma.
I can do it.
I have
trauma. Okay, Michelle, you go.
Okay. Well, you guys, do you even question that I can do it? How fast?
No, I don't question.
Are you ready? And I guarantee you, my sister could do it 10 times faster than I could. Or my younger daughter. Okay, here we go. Two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, and sesame seed bun. No, didn't sound right. Two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, and sesame seed bun. Two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, and sesame seed bun. No.
And I've never been able to do it. I've never done it a single time. I was just got scared.
Well, I can tell you someone else who did it. Our follower, Mary Rice.
Oh.
She shared this was her favorite. And she said, as a kid, I could sing that pretty fast. I'm not sure, but I may have trotted out that party trick at family get-togethers because it seemed to leave an impression on one of my aunts. She gave me a T-shirt with the slogan on it. And as Mary sang this, as I'm tapping this out, I may have unlocked a memory because I think that was part of my first communion gift from her. Nothing celebrates the body of Christ like two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun.
May God be with you, Mary.
Exactly. You go to communion. You start going to church, and for communion, they're just giving you tiny Big Mac pieces. They're breaking off.
I might go to church.
I know. Oh my gosh! But we all make
church
know
the little wine after.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh.
And then Mary actually went on and found on eBay the T-shirt. She found a T-shirt that was for sale ladies and gentlemen, hold on, for $180 for the two all beef patties.
A vintage T-shirt,
like the OG that Mary got for First Communion. So if you have one of those, if you got one for First Communion, hold on to it or sell it and make a lot of money.
No kidding.
All righty. Well, we can't be outdone. It can't be all about McDonald's. We got to go to Burger King, right? So now we're going to go to Burger King. Now, Burger King, you guys, had a good one. And they were so nice. Because you know what? They said, hold the pickle, hold the lettuce special.
Special orders don't upset us. All we ask is that you let us serve it your way.
Have it your way. Have it your way at Burger King.
You guys, I got a confession to make. As you may recall, I donned that brown and orange polyester Burger King uniform in high school, and I made the burgers. And special orders most definitely upset me. I want you to know, okay? Because this was pre-computer days. This is when they had a little microphone. And, you know, the cute little girl at the register, which I was not, they put me at burger duty, she would burger be taking duty. Someone's order. And then she would lean over and grab the mic and say, Whopper, extra cheese, no pickles, extra mayo. And I had to remember that.
Oh, okay, guys,
no computers and undiagnosed ADD. We did have a little grease pencil we were allowed to use. So you had to quickly pull the little box off of the thing and start marking because it had like P in a little box next to it. So there was like a thing for plus, for extra. Oh my gosh, it was so stressful. And no sooner would she finish, you know, the Whopper, than she'd say, Whopper Junior, extra pickles, no onions. And you guys, I get excited. I'm shaking everything, you guys, because it's making me so nervous. And then I would wait and I would dread because I would see out of the corner of my eye somebody walking back up to the counter with their
burger
box.
Why do I have extra pickles?
Oh, no.
And ketchup and mayo. And onions.
Extra pickles. Oh, I just wanted to shrink. It was just the most awful feeling.
That's stressful. That's horrible.
It was. So
with your grease pencil.
I gotta say, that jingle, it might have been true for some of the people, but it wasn't true for me. I did not like when people had a special order. It very much upset me. And yes, so those are our two burger-related
people jingles walking into Burger King and going, oh no, look, there's that burger maker again. Let's go over to McDonald's.
Burger duty.
I'm still recovering from that because, you know, it was a brand new Burger King that was opening. I'm just going to tell you the story again, everyone, because you can feel sorry for me. And all the girls, this was a really sexist Burger King, but I think all the Burger Kings were, because it was only girls that worked at the registers, at least in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
You never saw the guys there.
Mm-hmm.
They were always in the back in the fry machine or whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, there was an excess of girls that got jobs at this particular Burger King. So a lot of them got the, you know, counter duty and the cute little cash register and just lean over into the mic where I was back. The flame, and these are flame broiled, you remember? So it's like
flames coming up in your face.
Get out of this
How
thing.
Was your acne?
Stick them on this like conveyor belt that went into this thing with fire on it. And then it came out, and that's when I had to do the. All the dressing.
Carolyn's got like the sweat flops from not just the flame broil, but also from the anxiety.
Yes. Yes. And the anxiety would run the grease pen.
New pimples are popping up every shift.
It's like Lucy in the Candy Factory.
With me, so.
Okay. Another, we're going back to another jingle that was also inspired by an oldie, an old song. And this one was inspired by a 1958 hit song by the Royal Teens, who I had never heard of before, called Short Shorts, that reached number 2 on the U.S. R&B chart and number 3 on the U.S. pop chart in 1958. Who wears short shorts?
Huh.
We wear short shorts. If you dare wear short shorts, Nair for short shorts. That campaign, the Nair campaign, launched in 1975, so many years after the Royal Teen song was on the charts. But you guys will remember, it features the women with the smooth legs. This became a very lasting part of pop culture. The 1985 version is the one I remember very well. And they're all sitting on the counter stools at like a diner. And their short shorts could basically be panties. And they're all polka dotted, but different colors. And the guy who works at the diner is like, zowie! You know? And they all turn around. And at one point, they all turn around and in unison, we wear short shorts. And then they all do their butts like back and forth.
Oh my God.
It's very cute and boppy. And I mean, it's a fun song to sing.
But, I had no idea it was a real song.
I didn't.
I just,
either. I know. I know. I listened to it when I found it on YouTube. It actually showed the American Graffiti album cover, which is like 48 songs on that album or something. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see it. Then when I went to that album, then I searched the album and looked up the playlist, and I didn't see it on there. But doesn't mean it wasn't maybe included in the and at some point in the movie. But it's very much the same. It's the same tune. Mm-hmm. It's the same. They start by saying, who wears short shorts? We wear short shorts. And man, just catchy and fun and sticks with you. Makes you think about using, isn't it called a, what's it called?
A depilatory?
Something.
Whatever.
Depilatory?
I was going to say a dilapidator.
My mom said that would give a rash.
Did you guys ever try it?
I tried it. It did not work.
Didn't work.
No. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what's happening here? I'm just wondering about the auditions for that ad. Like, show us your legs.
Well, you had to have good legs, probably.
Yeah, I mean, there's only one thing we're looking at. Show us your legs. And those were GAMs. I think that's what, where the word GAM comes from, is from that ad. I mean, those
are
GAMs.
Real nice legs. Let's just say they're real. Like I said, I'm watching the 1985 commercial, and they're basically sitting on the bar stools and panties, and it's kind of zoomed in on their butts because you want to see their thighs are so nice. Although it's almost obvious who they're wearing, like, you know, the, what's it called? Toast.
Oh, legs.
The tights, the color toast.
Eggs.
Yeah. Oh,
legs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, there's another one. Legs. And I wasn't offended at all. I was like, wow.
Oh, no, I wasn't either.
Great.
I thought it was cute.
Yeah, you got those legs, man. Mm-hmm. Show them. Mm-hmm. Okay, moving on and going, doing like a 180 from legs. You guys, this is perhaps just one of the most endearing, hilarious commercials that I had completely forgotten about until it was on this list and I went and watched it. Y'all, this man is dressed up like a fig. He is a giant fig. Hi, gang. Big fig here. Hit it, Hal. And then he starts singing.
Salad is ooey, gooey, rich and chewy inside. Golden, flaky, tender, cakey outside. Wrap the inside in the outside. Is it good? Darn tootin'. Showing the big, fig, Newton. Here's the tricky part. The big, fig, Newton. One more time. The big, fig, Newton.
All you see is his little face and his little arms, but he has his hat that looks like the top of the fig. And he'll go, the big fig Newton, one more time. The big fig Newton. And his in pose is so iconic. And all I know is I want to dress up as a giant fig for Halloween, and I need to find that costume. But I remember, and he's only in a spotlight. I don't know if you guys remember. It's all dark. And he comes up into the spotlight, and then he's like, hi, gang, big fig here. Hit it, Hal. And then he's doing his little dance, but he's in his big, it's sort of like, do you remember the Fruit of the Loom guys? And they were in the big fruit.
Yep.
It's exactly 100%. If there was a fig in Fruit of the Loom, that's exactly the costume
like
they would do. So it's the
everything.
Same exact thing. It's just his face. And then he's got this giant, and he's got tights on. And he's just got these little arms that stick out. Anyway, it's classic.
No, thank you.
Am I making this up, or did my mom... If we were constipated, I could be making this up. I swear she would let us eat Fig Newtons.
Probably. It's like a prune.
Probably because
like
it's a prune.
Yeah.
Although I didn't really want to. Maybe that's why I didn't really want to eat them. But she'd be like, you could have these cookies. And they were Fig Newtons. And I think she liked Fig Newtons. But anyway, I digress. Yeah. But I associate them with constipation.
Maybe.
I'm sure that's what the company is going for.
This would be a fun one, because we probably can't put the actual jingles in all of them. It'll be crazy. But this would be maybe a good one to put the actual jingle in, because I don't think I sang the right tune. So that would be kind of fun. Because it's so funny where he goes like, here's the tricky part. And then he does like a little shuffle. He does. And then it zooms in on his feet, and he's doing like the box step as he sings. And his feet have like the shoes with the curled toe.
So cute.
I'm not kidding. I need to be a fig.
Okay.
And everybody like, that. What are you? And you'd be like, I'm a fig.
And then you have to do the dance.
I'm not a fig, Kristen. I'm Big Fig.
Big Fig.
He's like,
big
hi, fig. Everyone.
Big
and
fig
you have to
here.
Go, hit it, Hal. Then everyone
hit
will
it,
know.
Hal.
Hit it, Hal. Okay, our next one, everyone's going to, for better or worse, is going to remember this one. And it started in 1974 with the tagline, tastes so good, cats ask for it by name.
Meow, 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 meow,
It's such an earworm. It is such an earworm, which I guess more power to them. Maybe that's what you're going for. But the ad agency who created this campaign wanted a jingle that could accompany footage of cats eating the new cat food. And when they filmed the cats eating Meow Mix, that's what it is. It's Meow Mix, right? Meow, meow, meow.
Yeah.
When they filmed them eating Meow Mix for the commercial, one of the cats was barfing up a hairball and was choking on it. And just proving that, again, all iconic things are accidents, when they reviewed the hairball footage, they were like, it kind of looks like he's singing.
Oh, my God. It does kind of, actually, when a cat vomits.
So they just looped it. They just kept looping the film, and they did meow, 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 meow. Eureka! And that's where we get the Meow Mix thing. And so we enjoyed that jingle. Yeah. We enjoyed that for over 20 years until it was finally retired. It was retired in 1996. Oh. Yep, exactly. You're going, right?
I beg to differ because I think we're all still singing it in our heads as we try to go.
It's still in your heads. And this is the proof. It was such a catchy jingle that people thought it was still running, even though it had been retired. And in a survey done 16 years after the jingle was taken off the air, 81% of respondents claimed that they had heard the jingle in the last 12 months on TV. And it had not been on for over 16 years.
Wow. Mm-hmm. What did that say?
I know.
That's pretty amazing.
That's science,
some
man.
Staying power. Yes.
Yeah,
from a hairball.
From a hairball.
Joking on a hairball.
The poor kitty was joking on a hairball. And I thought this was an urban myth, but it appears to be true. It has been confirmed that the CIA officially used the Meow Mix jingle as part of its interrogation program, a.k.a. torture. Is it torture? Yeah, I mean, maybe. They would play it on a loop for hours on end to wear prisoners down and to keep them from falling asleep, because sleep deprivation is also one of their techniques. And they chose this very specifically because it was either offensive or incredibly annoying. And they thought that they would annoy people to death until they're like, fine, I'll give you the information. Here are the secrets.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah.
Well, maybe all those people that they talked to and thought they'd just heard it in the last 12 months were like war criminals or something who had been interrogated.
Oh, yeah, but I am a war criminal.
That's right. Yeah. So, I have heard it.
Okay, next we have so many food-related jingles. So much. There's no insurance anywhere on here. There's no Wegovy anywhere. There are no pharmaceuticals anywhere. The next one is from 1966. It started in 1966, but again, gained speed in the 70s, because I think they tweaked things with, I'm just making this up, but because these jingles became so much more successful in the 70s, I feel like the composers and the creators were just nailing the melody or nailing the lyrics in a way that made them more successful. So this is from 1966. Ask any mermaid you happen to see, what's the best tuna? Chicken of the sea. I don't know why there's a mermaid there. And is the mermaid trying to... I mean, aren't they friends with the tuna? I don't get it. But anyway.
I know. Why is it chicken of the sea?
Okay. I do have that information for you.
Okay. Thank you.
Because have you ever, you just say chicken of the sea. You don't think anything of it. But what a ham-handed title that is. Chicken of the sea. Why does it, chicken of the sea? Okay. So we just thought it was one word, right? We never thought a thing of it. This was made abundantly clear, the ridiculousness of it was made abundantly clear in an iconic episode of Newlyweds, Nick and Jessica, when Jessica Simpson finds herself actually genuinely confused about whether she's eating chicken or fish. She's like, I don't get it. Is it chicken or is it fish?
It's chicken. Then why is it called chicken of the sea?
Yes. I mean, I'm sorry, Jessica Simpson, to bring that up. I'm sure you wish that would just go away, but it's never going away. Chicken of the sea, it turns out, is a fisherman's term. It's sort of like an inside joke for tuna. And they call albacore tuna specifically chicken of the sea because, like you said, Michelle, because of its delicate white meat, it's more palatable. It looks more like chicken and it's less fishy. And marketing people grabbed that and ran with it because they needed to convince wary people who were like, I don't really like fish. They needed to convince those people that this is barely fish. It's almost not even fish. You should try it. It's just like chicken of the sea. It's just chicken of the sea.
Picture a chicken with gills.
Yeah. And it worked. And it worked.
It did. Yeah. It mm-hmm. did work. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember the fish down there, like talking and stuff. Yes. And I think they had merch for Chicken of the Sea. Of
Charlie Tuna.
Oh, Charlie yes. Tuna. That's right.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gosh. Yes. Well, thank you, Kristen, for that fun little info about Chicken of the Sea.
A little deep dive. Mm-hmm.
Okay, this was another one that I had forgotten or thought I had forgotten until I was reading through all of your listener and followers' choices, and it all came back to me like it was yesterday. When it says Libby's, Libby's, Libby's on the label, 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 you will like it on your table, table, table.
Table, table.
Yes. Oh, you guys. And so immediately when I know the song and I'm thinking of like Libby's, like a fruit cocktail, you know, something like that. I think in a fruit. So I went and watched a commercial just to kind of, you know, refresh my memory and listen to the jingle again, and watched a commercial on YouTube, and it was Cousin Oliver. He was actually singing.
That's right.
Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He's singing on the commercial. But yet, as it goes on, then the adult comes on, and the commercial is for corned beef hash.
What?
I'm sorry, I didn't know that. And then the voiceover says, "You will love Libby's selection of canned meats."
No.
No. So obviously, I didn't really necessarily remember the product, but no, I did remember it.
I thought it was juice. Yeah. I thought Libby's was juice.
Well, and they probably reused that little jingle on other products Maybe. That they had, mm-hmm. but I've always associated Libby's with fruit and sweet, not hash and canned meat.
Canned meat. But
seriously, I need to do the Meow Mix cat barf now.
Because that's such a cute little jingle. It's so light and fresh.
Libby's on the table.
Mm-hmm. So
cute. Like it.
And I mean, what kids like corned beef hash and canned meat? And it just seems like a very kid-friendly little jingle.
I felt like it was kid-focused. Well, because Oliver. It was aimed at us.
Well, maybe they wanted us to eat more canned meat. I don't know. All right. Last but not least, you guys, we are going with two iconic ads that have to do with soda. A lot of these were sugary, weren't they? A lot of the things that we were trying to... Mm-hmm. Yes. So, first... is the Be a Pepper. What a happy little everybody.
I so wanted to be a pepper.
Everybody could be a pepper. It didn't matter if you were fat or skinny or a sissy or tough, heck with armor. You could, everybody was accepted. Yes. And everyone could be a pepper.
Yes,
that's right. So the ad agency Young and Rubicam, which is always to me the ad agency that, if you said, what's an ad agency from the 80s? That's like the only name that comes to mind. It was just that iconic of an agency. So, yes, they are giving Dr. Pepper its own identity in a cola-centered world. Okay? They're like, this isn't cola. This is unique, just like all of you, and we can all be a pepper. The jingle was written by Randy Newman, our little friend of I Love LA and Short People. Yes, he had that knack for catchy and, you know, personality-driven melodies. And also, he was short, and he had a thing, you know, he sings about sad short people. He wants everybody to feel included.
He wants to be a pepper.
The poor short people, they weren't. So he wanted everybody to be a pepper, and everybody could. Yeah. So it's, I'm a pepper, he's a pepper, she's a pepper. And who's our friend that sings that song?
Oh, David Naughton.
David Naughton, Kristen. That's right. And American Werewolf in London.
Yeah.
Poor guy. He had a varied career, didn't he?
He sure did.
It was a very...
Mm-hmm. But he was a pepper and a werewolf.
Yes.
He probably got the most money from... Be a pepper.
Being a pepper.
I mean, think of the residuals he got on that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And think of all those people in those commercials. Those were like so choreographed, synchronized. They were all dancing in the streets. Yes. It was kind of flash dancey.
It was.
Remember like when they did that flash dance and they're on the car and whatever.
That was fame.
Oh, sorry.
Fame. But you're mixing a flash mob and fame. Because it is like a flash mob. And they've all got their bottles of Dr. Pepper. And they're doing that hop, skip to the right and left. Hop, skip, hop, skip. And I just wanted to live that life.
Yes. Who wouldn't? I was so happy. Mm-hmm. And it became a movement, actually. And there are these red, iconic I'm a Pepper t-shirts. Again, probably go for a pretty penny on eBay. But they were must-have items. Yep. Everybody wanted one. And everyone wanted to belong. I loved it. Mm-hmm. Everyone wanted to belong. Okay, we're going to end with maybe, should we say, I don't know if Ad Age has ever said this, but maybe the number one campaign,
beloved.
Jingle, song. Mm-hmm. Yes, beloved, that went on to become a beloved song and hit on the charts. Mm-hmm. It was a chart stopper, maker, whatever they do. Okay. Born out of frustration, you might not know the story of... Oh, did I tell you guys what it was?
No, what is it?
I probably haven't. No. You probably know, everybody. This is, I'd like to buy the world a Coke.
Yeah.
Or I'd like to teach the world to sing is probably what we know from the song that was on the radio.
From Sunday school.
Oh, I didn't sing that in Sunday school.
Oh, you didn't?
Well,
oh,
the Catholics wouldn't sing, like, probably things that weren't.
Oh, yeah. Lutherans are a little crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You guys kind of step out there a little mm-hmm. bit. Well, the ad was actually born out of frustration in 1971 by Coca-Cola executive Bill Backer. He was stranded at an airport in Ireland, of all places, due to bad weather. And everybody was all grumpy, as we get, you know, when flights are delayed. And he starts watching them bond over bottles of Coke. Is what he says. And he scribbles down the idea, I'd like to buy the world a Coke.
I'd like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honeybees and snow white turtle doves. I'd like to teach the world to sing.
Sing with me.
Perfect harmony.
Perfect harmony.
I'd like to buy the world.
Wouldn't it be nice if we could all just buy the world a Coke? If it was as easy as that, I think the world could all use a little Coke right now. A cola, Coca-Cola. And maybe that's why I love this song so much, because do you guys remember the commercial, commercial?
Mm-hmm.
It's often referred to as Hilltop, and it's filmed on a hill, which was outside of Rome. Real American students who were international students studying abroad are the people you see in the commercial. And, you know, they're all holding those Cokes and they're all singing. And then, do you guys remember like the Christmas one? There's the Christmas one. And then it like lights up. They make
twinkly.
The tree.
Oh my God.
Yes, it was so all pretty and twinkly.
They have night. When we go skiing in the winter, there's like one night a week they do night skiing. And I haven't done it yet. I'd really like to do it, but I'm not that confident yet. But I was sitting watching, and you see the skiers come down the hill with the lights.
Oh.
And then you see like one and two, and then pretty soon you see a lot. And last year I was watching it, and in my head I was singing that song because of that commercial.
Yeah, I bet.
It's so beautiful,
and
yeah.
You know what is so interesting? When they filmed the commercial, there is no product shot of like an actual Coke or Coke bottle or anything till the very end. And the executives from Coke were like, this isn't going to work. You're supposed to like have what the actual thing is in the ad much earlier than at the very end. And of course, again, we know what the result of that ad was.
No kidding.
Viewers loved it. Yep. Everybody knows it's Coke. And if you watched Mad Men, which I think both of you did.
Mm-hmm.
Did
love
we
it
not?
Twice, yeah.
Talk about a pop culture icon, mainstay. We realize at the end of the series finale of Mad Men, and what was his name again, everybody?
Don Draper.
Oh, yeah,
John
Don Draper.
Yeah.
Yes, is, you know, we think he's left the ad world and is just kind of finding his zen there on the, you know, mountainside in California. And supposedly that's when he got the inspiration for that campaign,
wow.
Which we know now is not true because it was actually in Ireland and Don Draper isn't real. And it's the end of the episode and I'm...
You shut your mouth. He is too real.
Really, truly. But it is a cultural phenomenon.
It is.
Mean, I think if you think of the 70s and you ask people a top commercial from the 70s... I would
anything
guessing.
From the 70s. Like, what do you remember
from
the 70s?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That would be right up there.
Yep, for sure. And we're still talking about it today.
Right.
Yeah.
Right here, right now.
It just fills you with such a good
it
feeling.
It does. You
know?
Yes,
mm-hmm.
At a time when, we need that. Okay, you guys. Truly, these jingles were mainstays of our lives, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were there. They were just, think how often we heard them. Like I said in the beginning, more than probably any top 10 song on the radio, we heard them all the time, every day, multiple times a day, probably. And they really became shorthand for that era and proof that jingles were everywhere. And seriously, you guys, I think we said this earlier, but I think we should play Kristen's favorite game next time we're at a cocktail party and just go up to someone and say, hey, my baloney has a first name. And see what happens.
You have to sing it. Don't go up to somebody and say that. You have to sing it.
If you said, if you came up to me and just said, "Hey, my baloney has a first name," I'd be like,
"Is it Ralph?"
I don't even think you have to sing it.
Oh my gosh.
I remember the first time I learned that baloney actually came as a big sausage.
I know. I had no like, idea what they were talking about.
I just thought it was always like just it came sliced. But yeah.
A little sliced.
So
but it's true, Caroline, because when we talk about our culture, whether it's, you know, Gen X culture or whatever, like we have to include everything that wormed its way into our lives. And that includes paid advertisements that we actually enjoyed. Like, can you imagine enjoying a commercial today? There's nothing that I enjoy, but these little ditties were quirky and they were fun and they were singable. And most importantly, and I said this at the top a little bit, we identified with them. Like, I don't identify with ads for diabetes drugs, but it doesn't feel like anything is being marketed to me as it was when we were children, despite the fact that I make all the purchases for my family. And now I'm realizing that it sounds like I'm complaining about not being targeted for advertising. That sounds like a discussion for another time. We hope you found your favorite jingle in today's episode. And if you didn't, send us a message and tell us what it is. You might just Husker do us. Thank you so much for listening today. And we will see you next time.
We could add it to a list. We should start keeping a list for part two. Right?
That's right.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, we'd like to give a huge thank you to all of our incredible patrons. You help keep the mics on and the memories alive. And because of your generosity, we're able to keep bringing you new episodes, invest in equipment, and the subscriptions we need to produce this podcast. Today, we're giving a special thank you to these patrons: Johanna, Leanne, Kimberly, Robert, Mendel, Megan, Melanie, Allie, Sharon, Felicia, Carmi, Alexis, Stephen, and Christina. And if you enjoy our show and you want to help us grow and continue, consider becoming a patron yourself. You can find out more about the different tiers of support and the exclusive perks they offer just by visiting our Patreon page at patreon.com/PCPS. And every contribution, honestly, big or small, makes a difference. We deeply, deeply appreciate it. You can even go on our website and make a one-time donation. You're like, I want to give them $5. Great. We could use it. Thank you. So much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, another way that you can support us is by leaving reviews. You guys, we've been stuck at the same amount of reviews for a while. We haven't had a new review since September. So if you haven't reviewed us yet, it really, really does help. Just go on to wherever you listen to podcasts and, you know, give us 5 stars. And like we say before, otherwise don't.
Otherwise you don't have to,
otherwise you don't have to. And write some wonderful, write a jingle about us. How about that? That could be your review. Write a cute little jingle. Because those really, those reviews and those star ratings help us get noticed by others. And yeah, we're great. We want other people to find out about us. So share the love.
Share the love. In the meantime, everybody, let's raise our glasses for a toast. Courtesy of the cast of Three's Company. Two good times.
Two happy days.
To Little House on the Prairie. Cheers.
Woo, cheers.
Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a life it is. That was always, there was always a New Year's Eve one where they needed it like the next day after they were.
And I didn't understand why they were so tired after New Year's Eve.
That's right.
So much I didn't understand.
The information, opinions, and comments expressed on the Pop Culture Preservation Society podcast belong solely to Carolyn, the Crushologist, and Hello Newman, and are in no way representative of our employers or affiliates. And though we truly believe we are always right, there is always a first time. The PCPS is written, produced, and recorded in Minneapolis, Minnesota, home of the fictional WJM Studios and our beloved Mary Richards. Nanu Nanu, keep on trucking, and may the force be with you.
Today's episode is being sponsored by artist, author, and longtime friend of the PCPS, Anne Pellegrino, who has created one of the cutest, most fun, and infectious Gen X journals that's truly a creative trip down memory lane. The Gen X Journal is so much more than just a journal. It's a retro activity book for people of a certain age, filled with journaling prompts. I love that. I never know what to write in my journals. Coloring pages and cute doodles themed around our childhood and teen memories. What did your bedroom look like? Describe it or sketch it out in the journal. What favorite toys do you remember? What songs were playing at school dances? You can make your own mixtape right in the journal. You'll find over 80 pages of cute illustrations, fun topics, journal prompts, and lots of room for your own writing and drawings. Spend some time recalling long-forgotten favorites and, most importantly, getting in touch with your younger self. We love this journal so, so much. And it's available where you buy books or through the link in the show notes of this episode. Again, it's called The Gen X Journal, and it's created by Ann Pellegrino, who is Spot Girl Design on socials. And trust us, her art is beyond darling and whimsical. Go to spotgirldesign.com to check out all of Ann's incredible designs. Thanks for sponsoring this episode today, Anne. And more importantly, thank you for creating such a fun and fabulous journal.